Well, my name is Tim St. Louis, as Ralph said. I have been blessed to be a part of the ministry at Rock Lake Christian Assembly for the last couple years, but it's not my first time at the ministry at Rock Lake. I grew up at the camp. I grew up, my dad was a dean at weeks of middle school and high school. We pretty much seemed like we lived there during the summer. I attended camp from the time I was practically born until I graduated high school, and then I was able to work over the summer as a summer staff. And so my life has carried me all over the Midwest, but over the last couple years we really have been blessed to come back here to the Vesterburg area to make this our home and continue serving in this ministry at Rock Lake. And today I come to talk to you about a simple truth that seems almost elemental and silly that we would even discuss it, because it's obvious. It's God's faithfulness, right? And we all know God's faithful, but I think sometimes we forget that God is faithful and that He provides whenever we take the time to ask. You know, as we look through the scripture today, we're going to focus on the life of Abram and how God's faithfulness was at work in his life. And my hope is that I can adequately convey to you that faithfulness is something that Abraham showed, and it resonated in his life, and it should equally resonate in our own lives. So today, I want to start, we're going to read a passage in Genesis 12. So if you'll turn with me there. It's a very common passage. We're going to start with 1 through 4, okay? And this is the first time that the Lord has a chance to lay out his promise to Abram. It says, chapter 12, verse 1, "The Lord had said to Abram, 'Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you.'" Verse 4. "So Abram left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran." A couple things that I want to point out there. You know, one, like I said, this is the first time that God has a chance to reveal his promise to Abram. You know, he's gonna multiply his peoples. All peoples on earth are going to be blessed through him. Are all peoples on earth blessed by us today as a result of forwarding that promise? How are we blessing the people in our lives? But also, I mean, one other thing to point out, Abram's 75 when he receives his promise. He's not a young buck, right? He's a little along in years. I think he is of the mind that, well, if God is going to do this for me, let's go, God. We're on the clock, right? So we have a 75-year-old Abram. He's told, you know, go from this land to the land I'll show you. So he just, without direction, full of faithfulness, right? Full of faithfulness, he packs up and goes. And he takes Lot with him. Now, Abram's got this brand new promise, right? It's something that he's not going to do anything to jeopardize. He's going to do everything just as God laid it out for him, right? says, leave your country, your people, and your father's household. I'm not sure if you're familiar with who Lot is. Lot is of his father's household. I think sirens are going off here, and he's made a mistake right off the bat. The very first thing after he receives a promise, he takes Lot with him. Now, we see, Abram's this man of great faith, but that doesn't mean he doesn't make mistakes. Okay? That doesn't mean he doesn't make mistakes. And there's consequences for his mistakes, right? We see it throughout here, this story of Abraham, that this issue with Lot continues to fester. It becomes a problem right away as the herdsmen of Abram and Lot begin to fight. They begin to argue because there's not enough land to support all their flocks. Right? And so early on, even though they've set out together, they have to separate because the land simply won't support both of them. Then later, we see that Lot is captured. In a battle between kings, Lot is captured, and Abram has to set out with all his fighting men to rescue Lot in the dead of night. Later yet, we see Lot living in Sodom, right? He's living in the Valley of Sin and has to escape at the last second when God's ready to annihilate Sodom. And so this is something that just continues to be an issue, a thorn in Abram's side. We make bad decisions, and like Ralph alluded to, we make bad decisions and there's consequences, right? These were the consequences of Abram's bad decision right off the bat. And God could have said, Abram, why did you take your idiot brother or idiot cousin Lot? No promise, we're done. No, God was, that wasn't it. God saw that Abram was faithful, right? He saw that Abram had the faith to put all his things together to go on this incredible journey, not knowing where he was going. You realize from where Abram was at in Ur, in Babylon, to where he finally finished up at that time, that's a 1,200-mile trek. That's not a short distance. I mean, I imagine he's on camels and he's riding horses or donkeys. I mean, through the desert there, that isn't a short trek to make with a substantial group of people. 1,200 miles he traveled, not knowing when the journey would stop, where he was going. 1,200 miles. That's faith. And God saw that faith. And rather than rip that promise away when Abram made a mistake, God was faithful. Let's go back to the text and look at chapter 12, right? Verse 11 through 20. Abram finds himself again in Egypt. This is that 1,200-mile trek, right? He's in Egypt. He's headed there because there's a famine in the land. Okay, 11, it says, as he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarai, I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me, but let you live. Say you're my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you. When Abram came to Egypt, the Egyptians saw that she was a very beautiful woman. And when Pharaoh's officials saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and she was taken into his palace. He treated Abram well for her sake, and Abram acquired sheep and cattle, male and female donkeys, men servants and maid servants and camels. But the Lord inflicted serious diseases on Pharaoh and his household because of Abram's wife Sarai. So Pharaoh summoned Abram. "What have you done to me?" he said. "Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister so that I took her to be my wife? Now then, here's your wife. Take her and go." Then Pharaoh gave orders about Abram and his men, and they sent him on his way with his wife and everything they had. So these stories are right next to each other in chapter 12. We almost look at them as if they're one happening right after the other. But remember, this is a 1,200-mile trek. This has been several years for him probably to get from where he was in Babylon to where he now is over in Egypt. He's there because there's a severe famine in the land. Not just a famine, there's a severe famine in the land. You know, he had headed down. He had made his way over to Bethel, okay? Bethel is in Israel, what we see is Israel today, just north of Jerusalem. And so he'd gone from Bethel down to Egypt as a result of this famine, okay? And so now here he's in Egypt, and he makes a foolish decision, right, again. He lies to Pharaoh to save himself. And God could say, "You foolish, foolish man, trust in me," right? God could take that promise. But he's faithful to Abram, and he's faithful to his promise. This famine in the land, I imagine, there's a reason that he went to Egypt. There must have been food there, you know, as we see later, you know, with Joseph, that there was a food storage, you know, that they had stored up just as Joseph had given the people a heads up. There must have been food. That's why he had made the 200-mile trek from Bethel down to Egypt. God's blessed him with herds and cattle and flocks and sheep in spite of his mistake, you know, in spite of his lie to Pharaoh. God has blessed him and allowed him to prosper in spite of this famine, right? But now here Abram is sent out of Egypt back into the land, back into this famine. God continues to be faithful to his promise. This isn't the only time that Abram's foolish enough to try and carry out this plot. We see later on in chapter 20 that he tries to carry out the exact same plot with Abimelech. And God again protects and preserves Abram in spite of himself, and he's faithful to his promise, and he allows him to prosper. He continues to build him into the nation that he is headed to be. In Genesis 15, 12 through 19, we have God reaffirming his promise to Abram. And then in 16, right, 12 through 19, he reaffirms. He goes step by step through the process again. In 16, we have Sarai and Abram, they're collaborating to fulfill the promise by their own ingenuity, right? We'll take this Egyptian maidservant that we have here, Hagar, and we'll fulfill the promise through her. You'll have a son. Now, think about this. It's been 11 years now that they've been waiting on God to fulfill this promise, right? He was 75 years old when he initially received this. He's 86 now. When's God gonna fulfill this promise? When am I gonna have a son, right? That's what he's thinking. 86 years old. Come on, God. It didn't derail God's faithfulness, though. It took another 14 years for God to fulfill his promise to Abram. Right? He was 100 years old when he had Isaac. When he had this baby, this son that God would use to create a nation. And even at that point, when God challenges Abram with sacrificing his son, Abram's faithfulness to God, it's overflowing out of him. He's so faithful that he blindly, just as he blindly headed into the desert, he blindly heads to the mountain with his son. No sacrifice in sight, but his son. And he goes to the mountain with every intention to sacrifice his son if that's what God wants. Now certainly God's faithful and says to, he provides a ram, you know, in a thicket for Abram to sacrifice, and Isaac is free, and God continues to build this great nation and this great people. But here's where it started, right? It starts, God, there's a reason Abram is a pillar of faith for us, right? There's a reason that God chose him to start his people. It's because Abram had faithfulness down, right? He had faith. He wasn't perfect, though. It was evident to anybody who saw Abram that there was something else going on here. There was something else going on. It's one of the things that I love about God is that God doesn't use perfect people. He uses broken people. And Abram was anything but a perfect person. I love the way that Scripture lays it out. It shows that he is a faithful person, right? You're a faithful person, right? You're living a faithful life to God. But I think too often we try to hide our imperfections. We try and conceal them. And that's not what God does here. You know, God could have said, you know, when he revealed the Scriptures, God could have said, he could have laid this out as Abram being the perfect example, the perfect person. He could have chose to hide all those imperfections, all those mistakes that Abram made. He could have set those aside and focused on the faithfulness, but he didn't. And he doesn't. Every example we have throughout Scripture, God focuses as much on the imperfection as their pillar tenets, right? The faithfulness, the holiness, the righteousness, right? He focuses on the imperfections because it's through those imperfections that we recognize that there's a God at work, right? If it's a perfect person, if Jesus is walking around up here, right? If we see this perfect person who's able to move mountains and do these things, we start to think, and does no wrong, we start to think, maybe it's him, right? Maybe it's his own strength that's able to do that, to do these great things. But when we see the imperfections, we recognize that it can be nothing but God at work in him doing these great things. I love that God has chosen to expose Abram's struggles in here. And I think it's a great example that we shouldn't hide our own struggles, right? But we need to be honest, because that's when we allow God to work in our lives through our humility, and our acceptance of our flaws. Think Abram was 75 years old when he received God's promise. And like I said, he waited another 25 years to have Isaac. God spoke to him several times over this period to reassure Abram that he hadn't forgotten about him. But think about that. 25 years when you're 75 years old. And I know there were people who had previously been living significant periods, but they were past that. This was a long life at that point. And God had a plan for Abram's life and remained faithful to it. Abram was 100 years old when he got there. I started at Great Lakes Christian College 16 years ago pursuing my degree in ministry, and I have to say I wasn't ready to enter the ministry at that time. You see, in all honesty, God just wasn't the ruler of my life at that point. I wanted to do the right things, but I needed to establish God as king in my life. And at that time, I left Great Lakes, and I went to work for a home improvement store. For 15 years, I had a chance to be molded, to be shaped, to be taught, to mature. Sort of. But really, what God allowed for was God allowed for me to develop a relationship with him. A love and a passion for him. A love that's rooted in the word. And really, he refired the passion for service within me. When the timing was right for him, he opened the door for me to come back into ministry. God had a plan for me, and I didn't walk through a desert like Abram. It was just retail, but it's easy sometimes to get those confused. But God had a plan. And just like in my life, and just like Abram's life, God has a plan for your life. And maybe you spent your time in the desert. And maybe you've... You spent time away from God or searching for what he has in store for you. And today is that day. Today's the day where you find your baby Isaac. You understand that God is calling you and has a plan, and he's ready to fulfill it in your life. God has a plan, and God had a plan for Abram. 1,200 miles is no long walk, right? Especially through a desert. 25 years, he searched. God had a plan. Romans 5, 8, and 9 says, God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? God has a plan, and he's faithful to it. It's a plan of forgiveness. It's a plan of redemption. It's a plan of salvation. And it started with a little promise. All the way back in Genesis, that God's been faithfully carrying forward for generations. God is faithful, and we know that. And his faithfulness isn't contingent upon you or I. God is faithful. That's the truth. God is faithful. His promises are available to anyone, and we must decide whether or not we want to accept them in our lives. He loves us, and He desires our faithfulness similarly. I hope I've been able to remind you of the elemental truth today of what faith looks like in these pillars, in these great people, and what faith should look like in your life. You know, God is faithful, and if we're ready, if we take that step out, we find God's faithfulness to the plan He has in store for us. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You that You provide for us in so many ways. I'm thankful that that You're faithful, and that You show that by having a promise, by remaining faithful to Your people, and providing a plan for our lives, Lord. I pray that as we go, Father, today, that we would remain focused on following You and remaining faithful to You in Your name. I pray these things.